Torah, mitzvahs, and how do you live in society? Ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chavera. Yeah. Torah, mitzvahs, and mishpatim. How to get along in society, the need for laws, and all kinds of restrictions, why this indeed frees a person to be able to develop best, and not feel constrained. This is his point.
I was going to say also, I heard on the radio a couple weeks ago, they were talking about Be'er HaGolah school for Russian immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
So they told a story similar to the Whipple one. Where this little boy, they taught him the brachas for Hanukkah, and I forget what grade he was in, first grade or something. He comes back the next day, and the teacher asked him, did he say the brachas? And he started crying and said he'd forgotten his brachas in school. They had him nowhere there because he didn't know what to do. And he asked his mother, so he didn't know the brachas either. So he thought of an idea. He said, every letter in the office,
without question, it's absolutely mind-boggling. But in this tradition, this Maisa Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, there is a variation. There is a variation. A shepherd boy came in to shul and started to yell out Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and goes to the end, recites the whole Aleph Beis, and says, Rabbanu Shel Olam, you already know how to arrange the letters of the Aleph Beis into the words that you know that's what I mean. I can't say and arrange the words. You do the arranging. Same thing? Yeah, no question about it. You see, and you don't need Chassidish Maisis to really understand that this is the core of davening. Avodah Shevalev, the pouring out of the heart. I see people talking in shul. I go crazy. You know why? Because if they did that same talk to the Rabbanu Shel, it would be, I mean, like the Kedusha, the sanctity, would lift us, I suppose, about 6 inches off of the ground. Towards heaven. Huh? But don't you understand? That's the point. If instead, that's the whole rub. Coming to shul, you're supposed to talk. You're supposed to not stop talking. There's only one problem. He doesn't want competition. That's the whole, that's what gets me crazy. It's a lifelong crusade. I admit that this sitter has taken me 30 years to appreciate the ins and the outs, and the machs are also Roshani and Kippur. I've invested 24, 25 years of constant study. I don't expect that of the layman. But, at the same time, and therefore the sitter has become more of a straitjacket than what I maintain it is, the theological handbook, the song of the Jewish soul. Hopefully I'll be able to take a couple of pages in these shared moments and show you what really is there. But Rav Nachman of Bratslav, the Bratslav Rebbe who lived in the mid-1800s, was very aware of the fact that the sitter was inadequate for the average Jew. And he went ahead and wrote, must have been about 500 or 600 of these tchinos, of these supplications, for every emotion, for every circumstance, for every day, for every need. You get crazy at the kids. He's got a tefillah. Things didn't go well in the shop today. He's got a tefillah. Your recipe fell through. You have to take it. He's got a tefillah there. It's incredible. Unfortunately, it's never been translated. Yes, there are translations in Yiddish, but that's where it stopped. The only thing we have in Americanese or in English that comes near it, unfortunately, has been these invocations and dedications that have been written in the Reform movement. And they are so without guts and kishkas, so without the heart, as compared to, let's say, what Rav Nachman of Bratslav did. It's so bad. If anyone, I would say that if you wanted to learn the Hebrew language, if for no other reason but to understand and appreciate the tchinas of Reb Nachman of Bratslav, it's worth it. Forget about everything else. The genius of the human psyche, of the human soul, for everything. Hundreds and hundreds of such situations. Any one of these can fit into a Shmon Esrei, and if you don't want to tamper with the Shmon Esrei, I showed you where afterwards. Because, you see, and you can't shlug me up, you can't say that I'm wrong, because as Birnbaum does show you, the Elokai Nitzor is in Gemara Brachas. And it was taken from the Gemara Brachas because this was the post Shmon Esrei tefillah that someone, one of the Amoraim added. You know the Rosh Chodesh mention that we say before Rosh Chodesh, Yehi Ratzon Shetchadesh Aleinu Asachodesh Hazal Tovah V'Livracha? Okay? Comes from the Gemara. It used to be said by Rav in the first century every day after Shmon Esrei. The only thing is, he didn't say Shetchadesh Aleinu Asachodesh Hazeh. He would start V'siten Lonu Chayim Aruchim. Give us a pattern and a long life. Chayim Shel Shalom. Chayim Shel Tova. That's what he said every day in his Shmon Esrei. So we took it, instead of saying it at the end of Shmon Esrei, we took it and we made it very special. We added one line on page 381 over there. Shetachadesh Aleinu Eshachodesh Hazeh. Give us another month. And all of these things. So, and there are half a dozen other in the Gemara there. So this one was chosen to show you, to instruct you specifically, that it is your turn after the 19 brachas are over. Anything goes. Gemara says about Rabbi Akiva that he used to be davening Shmon Esrei and got so wrapped up in the post Shmon Esrei meditations that they caught him someday. He would start over here in this corner, so they used to catch him over there in the other corner because he didn't realize that the movement, the kinetic energy, the movement energy that he used to expend in his personalized davening after he would say the Shmon Esrei. So it's a must. It's an absolute must. As long as you understand where to put what, as long as you understand that it goes in the middle of the bracha, in the right bracha, and you have stop gaps. If it's for understanding and insight, you have the bracha. If it is for refuah, if it's someone who needs a refuah shleima, you have a couple of lines later the bracha. If it is something else, you have Shema Koleinu 2 pages later. And if you're still not satisfied, or you didn't, you know, you just didn't get inspired, even after you finished the entire Shmon Esrei. Oh, I forgot something. Hey, do me a favor, boss. I got to ask you something else. Please. Anything goes. In Yitz Hashem, when we meet next time, I would like to show you the most violent bracha in the entire Siddur. Why is it violence? Because at its root was religious politics. And whenever you take religion and mix it with politics, you must have product has got to be violence. Okay? I'm giving you homework. Anytime between now and 2 weeks from now, I want you to take all 19 brachas of the Shmon Esrei. Okay? And I want you to see where chesed, where loving kindness is the theme. And tell me which bracha does not abide by that theme. Okay? I want you to extract the essence of chesed. That's homework. That this is not your home. You understand? You're supposed to do it in your home. So that from here I will have the zchus of knowing that you have learned Torah in your home as a result of what you did tonight. No, I said to extract. I didn't say that. No. That's your business. Okay? I want to get the feeling of chesed, of constant giving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 18 times, and show me the 19th time where it's missing. Get the 19th time is going to be Vilam Malshinim, but I want you to get between the lines. Okay? Because when religion is joined with ugly politics, you have nothing but violence. The history behind that bracha is probably the most fascinating, that if you enjoy history, it's probably one of the most fascinating chapters of Jewish history.
Good night, Gerald.